Okay, if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark, again, I thank you for the privilege that you've given me. You've given me a really memorable time here in Indiana. Always remember this as and hold it special in my heart. I love going to different places or places that I've never been to. I'll be traveling to another place in the south, Louisiana. Never been further down south that way, so if you could pray with me as I go there, that I would be a blessing, but also that the Lord would give me a good experience with the people there. Mark chapter 10, if you found your place there, I just want to be an encouragement to you tonight from God's Word, and maybe the Lord will speak something specific to you. It's amazing, every time we open God's Word, God has something for us. Regardless of how our day has been, how we feel inside, if we're willing to allow God's Word to speak, which He is speaking, the moment you open and you read, He's speaking, it can affect us and it can change us. God has something for each of us in here tonight from the message, from His Word, that He wants us to listen to. If you're willing and opening your and you open your hearts tonight, I know that you will have something. Let's bow our heads in prayer before we dive into the passage. Lord, thank you for a wonderful time in your house already. Thank you for the privilege we have of opening your word and allowing your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. Lord, have your will and your way in this evening service. I know there's many here who probably need, you know the needs of their heart. It could be encouragement, it could be rebuke, it could be many things, Lord. But Lord, I thank you, you're sufficient for all of them. I pray that you'd help me as I bring your word, that you would give me the strength, you would also control my thoughts and my words, that I would speak only what you would have me to speak. And we will praise you for what you do this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, growing up, we may have had many desires, desire to do this, maybe desire to be maybe a doctor, a millionaire, I'd like to be a singer. There are many things we aspire to do. We have many desires in life. We desire to do maybe things that only we know in our hearts, and we don't try to share it with others because we're like, I don't know if that might cause me a little bit of shame. People may look down upon what we like. But in Mark chapter 10, we find Jesus' disciples also desire a thing that is very unusual when you look at the passage of Scripture. Jesus is here teaching, talking about different things. In the passage of Scripture, he talks to a young rich ruler as well and asks him to follow him. But if you found your place there in Mark chapter 10, let's go down to verse 35. Maybe you'll have to turn a page or so. But we find two of Jesus' disciples, and in fact, in Luke's gospel as well, we find the account that actually their mother was present as well in this scene. In verse 35, the Bible says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire." They had a desire. They asked the Lord to do something for them. And we'll go later on and look at it. It seems very absurd what they asked the Lord. Very hilarious in our eyes. But they were very sincere in what they were asking the Lord to do. In this passage, we see that Jesus listens to what they say. In verse 36, he says, "And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you?" I'm grateful that our Lord is not quick to rebuke us right away. He's not quick to yell at us or chide with us about even sometimes our ignorance in asking things to him. I'm grateful that the Lord is gracious to us. But he listens to them and he says, What would you have me do? Jesus already knows what they're going to ask, but he says so. In verse 37, they say unto him, "Grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand, one on thy right hand, and the other one on thy left hand in thy glory." Basically, here's what they're saying. Lord, we believe you're going to go back to heaven, or when you ascend back up, we want one of us to sit on your right hand in glory and one in your left hand in glory. They're basically asking, in one way or the other, to be exalted or desire a position really above all the other disciples. They thought, I guess, I don't know their intentions, but I could probably guess, maybe they thought they, since they were in the inner circle, they had something in on Jesus that they could get what they wanted. They wanted a place of prominence in the kingdom of God, to be on Jesus' right hand and left hand. Jesus very graciously says in verse 30, Jesus said unto them, "Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They very ignorantly say in verse 39, they said unto him, "Oh, we can." And Jesus said unto them, "Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. All shall ye be baptized. But to sit on the right hand, on the left hand, is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared." Jesus graciously tells them to go to where I am and be exalted to the position that I'm at. You have to take the way of the cross. Are you willing to drink the cup that I'm going to drink and be crucified and die for the sins of all mankind? Obviously not. They were not capable of doing it, and it was impossible for them to do it. But they say they could. Jesus says that they will go through, I believe, some form of persecution and things that they would have to bear that cup in that sense. But through Christ, they would have borne that cup because He did for us and be baptized for us. But He says to sit on the right hand and on the left hand, that's not something, a prize that you give away to someone. He says that's only the Father that who is faithful will reward the faithful when they stand before Him. Another passage of Scripture, Jesus talks to them and tells them that they will sit in His kingdom. He's given them a place and they will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. We may desire many things. We see here in this passage, these disciples desired something that was not right. They wanted to exalt themselves and in a way put themselves in a position where others could see them. They could be recognized. But I'm grateful every time there was something that came up, Jesus always took the opportunity to teach. There was never a point where Jesus stopped teaching. Even in rebuke, He would teach a lesson. And in many things that Jesus taught, He focused mainly on a lot of things related to humility. And in this passage, we see, I believe, one of the greatest expositions or the greatest demonstrations of what He desires a true servant to be. True servitude according to what Jesus says it should be. And just for a few moments tonight, I'm not going to bore you with spending time talking about the rest of the passages of Scripture. You can go back and read some of it. But I just want to give you four things tonight, which I believe is the greatest desire that you can have, which is to be a servant. Now, I know I'm talking to those of you in here who are either in some form of ministry or you want to be in some form of ministry and are doing so even right now. I do not doubt your faithfulness. But do you know what? God focuses a lot not on what we are doing and whether we've ticked all the boxes, but our heart in it. How's our heart when it comes to servitude? How's our heart when it comes to serving Jesus Christ? When we do things in the church, when you sing in the choir, or when you clean the church, or when you go out soul winning, what's your heart like when it comes to servitude? Do you have a servant's heart? I think many times it's said so often that we wonder what really is to have a servant's heart. I'm grateful that the Lord shows us in His Word very clearly what we need to know about servitude. Servitude is really a matter of the attitude of the heart, not following a list of guidelines or reading a couple of books that can give you a good idea of what service is, but it's rather having an attitude of the heart that is worthy of being a servant. We'll see that the heart matter of what it is to be a servant. As we saw, we find the disciples asking this question, but Jesus takes time to speak to them. Look at verse number 41. When the ten heard, they began much to be much displeased with James and John. The Bible says, verse 42, But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. Right away, first we see Jesus teaches them that true servitude, or having a desire, a heart for service, is not found in the ability of the natural man. It's not found in the ability of the natural man. You know that you and I, when after we got saved, we have something called our flesh. The part of us that is wicked and sinful, there are passages in Scripture, Jeremiah chapter 17 says, our heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. Who can know it? Galatians chapter 5, it says, Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, the list goes on. They are examples of what it is to be selfish, not selfless. Do you know on your best day, on your best behavior, if you're relying on your flesh and yourself, you are not a true servant. Your flesh, your natural man, your natural abilities or talents cannot produce the service, servitude, the service, the servant's heart that the Lord requires for us to have. To be a true servant, we need the Holy Spirit of God. Only He can make us be the servant we need to be. In that very same passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, he says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such thing there is no law. The Holy Spirit can produce in us what we cannot produce in our own ability. You know, there are many of us who probably have a good personality or have a very helping personality. And many times when we help in the ministry, I noticed this even with my grandmother when she got saved on my mom, on my dad's side. She was a servant of the church. She would go in and just be willing to do whatever and just help out. She always had a desire to serve, and that got carried on to my dad and even to me as well. But all it took, when I noticed people who did have that, is someone not to notice what you do or say something bad about what you do. And right away, we change from being a servant to be someone who is selfish, angry. Nobody appreciates me for what I do. Can I tell you, when we rely on ourselves, we will not produce true servitude. But the Holy Spirit of God, as we heard this morning, He can produce that through you because we're doing it through His strength and His ability and not our own. He can help you be the servant you need to be. I want you to notice Verse 37, we find when these disciples ask this question, I want you to think of the background. Here are these disciples who have been with Jesus for all this time. They've heard good messages from Him. They've heard many, many illustrations. Chapter 9, He talks about humility. And you'd kind of figure, at this point, they should be asking the right questions. But no, they're not. Even Jesus' disciples, being close to Him physically, we're selfish. Can I tell you, each of us in here tonight, and on your best behavior, you're selfish. But through the Holy Spirit of God, we can be what He wants us to be. Because God has called us to be servants. But number two, we see very quickly, true servitude is not just found, is not only found in the ability or the lack of ability in the natural man, but also true servitude does not follow the world's example. Jesus gives an example very quickly in verse 42 of what the world looks like when they serve. He says in verse 42, You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But He says, So shall it not be among you. He says, those who are so-called elevated to a position where they serve people, like public servants, or those who have a title. In Luke chapter 22, another passage of Scripture that talks about this very account, they're called benefactors, those who help the people. The world, when we look at how they do servitude, they do it by force. They serve with lording over the people. They serve by applying authority upon people. But here's what it is. I see two things here. They like the title. They don't like the service that comes with it. Doesn't that, in one way or the other, describe many things of what we see in our world today? They like the title. Oh, servant. Servant, the one who serves the people. It could be even found in our churches as well. A servant of the church. Where they desire the title, but they don't want to do the work. In other words, the world, when we look at it, the world and we try to follow the way they do things, they serve to be served. They don't serve to serve. They serve because they want something back in return. But Jesus says very quickly and very strongly, but so shall it not be among you. Remember, this is not a set of rules that we're following to be good servants. This is an attitude of the heart. A true servant, when he looks at servitude, he does what God requires of him in service, not because it's required, but because that is who he is. He's a servant. But there's also, I believe, a change of titles. Jesus says, but so shall it not be among you. But he says very quickly in verse number 43, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your, here's the first word, minister. He uses another word in the following verse. And whosoever of you will be chiefest, in verse 44, shall be servant of all. There are two words that Jesus uses. I'll go over them very quickly. The first word is the word minister, where we get our word for deacon. You know, we go to the crux of what that word means. The word deacon has the idea of waiting on someone else. We're at a restaurant this afternoon and a great, great meal. But the waiters that come and stand by your table, they stand there, hopefully many of them do, to wait on your order, to wait on what your desire is. What would you like? What can they serve you with? That's the idea when it comes to a minister. Where we need to wait on each other for service. Now, what can I give you? What would you like? What would you desire? But he uses another word as well, which is where we get the word doulos, slave. He says the greatest, the one who is put in a position of leadership, must be your slave. Very quickly, the third thing we see is true servitude requires new limits of service. You don't just go from, okay, I'm going to serve if I can, and then leave it. If it's out of my boundaries, I'm sorry, I have to check out of that servant card. I can't be that. No, Jesus says, but so shall it not be among you. In fact, when you're called to serve, here are the limits that he has set on service. He says, whosoever wants to be a servant should be a minister. A minister is someone who renders service or someone who is willing to help to do anything. A minister helps do anything. Are there some tasks that you say, especially in the ministry, that you're like, I can do that, but if I do that, that's going to cost me my pride. Can I tell you, in Jesus' blueprint for service, God wants us to be willing to do anything for Him. But also in being a slave, the new limit is to help anyone. Other people that you say, you know what, I can reach anyone else. I can spend time doing anything with anyone except that person. Think of this for a moment. Give you a background of this. Chapter 13, or this same account where Jesus is talking to his disciples, a few chapters later in John chapter 13, he washes the disciples' feet. You remember that? The master, the creator of the universe, washes his disciples' feet. That's obviously a demonstration of humility and service. But I want you to notice, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he washed all of their feet, including Peter, who would deny him, but also Judas, who was going to betray him. I think true servitude is put to the test when we serve our enemies. We like to serve those who will give us something back in return, or it's easy to serve them. But can I just remind you, Franklin does not have easy people. The world does not have easy people. But we're not called to go to easy people. We're called to go to anyone and do anything for Christ. Will you serve those who you know they're going to hurt you back in return? You see the heart of the matter? It's the heart to serve. Not, are they going to give me something back in return? And the last thing we see is true servitude is only found in the example of our Savior. When we truly look at the cross and we truly look at who Christ is as explained in Scripture in verse 45, for even the Son of Man, the Bible says, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I find something very interesting here. You see how Jesus said, if you're great, you must be a minister. And he says, if you want to be someone who is chief, you have to be a slave. Jesus demonstrated that, and this is a prophecy of what he was going to do. As a Son of Man, he became our minister. He healed. He went to the sick. He went to the lame. He sat in sinners' homes and served them. He became and is the example for us to follow for servitude. God will never ask you to do something without showing you what to do. He does it first, and then he says, follow me. Jesus not only told us to be ministers, but he showed us how to do it through his life. There was not a single person that could come to Christ and not be helped. Can he find that in us? We're his children. But also, he went a step further in verse 45. He gave his life a ransom for many. He became a slave, a thief, or was counted among the thieves. For what? For you and for me. If Jesus were to say, or if the Bible were to say, for even the Son of Man came to be ministered unto, that would be right. As God himself, doesn't he require for us to minister to him? Yes. God requires all service from every person, everywhere. But the Bible doesn't read that way. He says, though he was that way, he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. If Christ could do that for us, to buy our souls back, to save us from our sins, what about you and me? Shouldn't we be willing to have the attitude and heart that Jesus did, to become a servant for him? No limits to what he asked me to do. No person that he wants me to reach that I would be willing to say, Lord, I can go that far, but not further than that. If you want to be a true disciple and a true servant of Jesus Christ, you've got to do it his way. And I'm grateful that the Lord didn't just stop by becoming a minister, but gave also his life for us. When you visit and you speak and evangelize in many ways, Franklin, Indiana, or wherever you come from in your area, I want you to remember this. The greatest servitude or act of service that you can do is to set aside your pride and tell someone about Jesus Christ. That's the greatest act of service that you can do. What are things that you can do in your life and in your week that you know God wants you to do, but yourself is prohibiting you from it? Can I remind you again? God requires service. Not what you're doing, but a servant's heart. Tonight, I'm not sure what the Lord has spoken to you. In a few minutes, I'll ask Pastor to come up and close in prayer. But I want you to think about what God spoke to you tonight. Maybe you are a servant, and this has been an encouragement to you. Keep on. That's what the Lord wants you to do. But maybe you're here and you're not the way God wants you to be as a servant. You do things, but you have limits on it. Can I encourage you? Be the servant God wants you to be. Because He did that for us. Why can't we do it for Him? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Pastor.